Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
All right, let's open this thing up with a riddle. Anybody like riddles? Anybody ever been riddled with riddles? All right, here we go. You ready? And it's open for them. If I have it, I don't share it. But if I share it, I don't have it. What is it? Was it? A secret. He got it right out of the gate. So if I have it, I don't share it. If I share it, I no longer have it. It's a riddle. And the answer is a secret. Can I tell you a secret today? Because I want to tell you a secret. And I want to talk to you today about sharing. Can you tell there's a key theme there? So let's talk a little bit about sharing today, because guess what? I don't like to share. Anybody over here, can you track with me? I don't like to share. You guys heard the M&M story, right? And if you haven't, you know, my wife would eat all of my M&Ms in one bite. And I'm the guy that literally just chews each little M&M like a squirrel. And she'll go, wow, and eat them all up. So we have our own M&Ms now. We went to the movies and we each had our own little bag because you guys have been so graciously sharing M&Ms with us. We don't have to worry about that anymore, do we, hon? It was great. So you've heard the M&M story, but how many guys know I'm a surfer as well? Okay, yeah, I like to surf. I've been surfing my whole life. Sonny was here in the first service. My buddy Terry's in the back now. He's a surfer. Terry, do you like to share your waves with anybody? No, you don't? You see, there's this thing with surfers, man. It's called getting dropped in on, right? When you've got your wave, you've waited for 10 minutes for this beautiful wave, and then somebody else, as you're coming down the line, drops in on you, and they want to share your wave. And I don't like to share. So watch this. Watch what happens here when this guy tries to drop in on this other guy and share his wave. You'll like this. Oh, now he's going to ride it. There we go. Uses the leash to grab his board back. Very impressive, very impressive. Do you know that guy had to, the other guy had to swim in? You know, his board was gone. He'll teach him to surf with no leash, right? So, you know, when it comes to sharing and somebody drops in on your wave, people sometimes they get angry, they get upset. And that's pretty funny, isn't it? He had to swim in. I've swam in. It's no fun. But, you know, I looked at this video and I was like, really? It's more like he shared his surfboard. Right? Shared his surfboard with him. But you know what? The bottom line is many of you don't like to share either, do you? Come on, let's be honest for a minute. Okay? Who would like to share their bank account with me? Right now. Right? Not going to happen, right? Ben, you good with that? He's like, ha, 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 ha. How about a meal with a stranger? Some of us would venture to share our meal with a stranger, right? Some of us would do that, but most of us would rather buy them their own meal and still eat ours, right? If we're talking about preferences. How about your car, man? Hey, could I, you know, total stranger. Hey, can I borrow your car? You want to share your car with someone? How about your house? Yeah, come on over. Yeah, just move in. You can have my bed. How about your boyfriend or your girlfriend? Anybody want to share them? Husband, wife? No. The answer is no. Right? So I think we can venture to say we don't like to share everything, right? But let's look at the Bible, and there's one key thing that I want to talk to you guys about today that we all need to share. Are you ready? It's this. It's the heavenly calling. Okay, look at Hebrews 3:1 with me real quick. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. You know, what I love about the scriptures, first and foremost, it says, holy brothers and sisters. So the scripture is not talking to the world. This scripture is talking to Christians. Okay, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are not a Christian, and the scripture technically doesn't apply to you until, you know, we lead you to Christ here in a few minutes. But as believers, it is the calling of God for us to share in what? What is the heavenly calling? That's kind of what I want to talk to you about today. What is this heavenly calling that the Bible is saying we should all take part in, that we should all share in? Well, it's this. It's fixing your eyes on Jesus, fixing your thoughts on Jesus. It's acknowledging our apostle and high priest, Jesus. So what is the one thing that is totally shareable in this world? It's Jesus. There's more than enough of him to go around. Somebody's like, no, man, I want them all. You can't have any. We can share Jesus. We can share our lives, and we can fix our eyes on him. That's what I want to talk to you about today, because it's not my calling to fix my eyes on Jesus as the pastor so that I can just, you know, help you guys come along and learn and do what it is you need to do. It's everybody's calling. It is a global, if you call yourself a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus, you are officially called to share in this heavenly calling of being able to fix your eyes and set your life on Jesus Christ. Good. This has to do with your identity. Do you really know who you are in Christ? You guys want to learn more about this? Let's understand. Let's begin to understand who we really are as believers, because the world that we're living in is drastically becoming darker and darker and darker and darker. And if we're going to be the light of the world, then we have to learn how to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. Okay? You see, our heavenly calling is sharing a relationship with God. While you don't want to share your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your husband or your wife in a relationship, you can share Jesus. He's right here. He's with us. Say he's with us. So, here's the problem. Okay? So we make, there's this one key mistake that we make when it comes to having a relationship with God that we've got to be aware of so that we don't fall into the trap of this one obstacle that I'm talking about today. And that is this, that sometimes we make the mistake of just allowing God things to get in the way, for lack of a better way of saying it. We get busy. We keep doing stuff. You know, I always say this. We are human beings. Say, I'm a human being. You are not a human doing. You're a human being. So you are existing, and God is looking to have a relationship with you and to be with you. He's not looking for you to have a relationship with him and do something for him. That's the mistake that we make, is we get caught in this little circle of trying to do works, trying to serve God, and trying to make him want to accept us when he's already accepted us. We want to try to earn his favor when we already have his favor by doing things, when really God's just saying, I want you to be with me. I want you to partake of the heavenly calling that I have put over each and every one of you that call on my name, that say you're a believer in me. Then all I want is this. I want you to fix your eyes on me. Fix your thoughts on me. Acknowledge me, right? As your high priest, as your savior. Think about that. It's right here. Because we can't try to have a relationship with God through what we do for him. I do it all the time. I'm constantly trying to do things for God and make things happen for God and build his kingdom and do all this powerful, amazing stuff. And it's not bad to do that. But when that's what you do instead of who you know, that's where the breakdown is. That's when we have no longer put ourselves in a position of sharing in that heavenly calling. Now we're just living our life by works. You know, we can't live our life just doing things. We have to be with God. Look at this in Philippians 3:10. I love this scripture. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, so it's a little bit long. But listen to this. In this, so that I may know him, experientially becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him, understanding the remarkable wonders of his person more completely, and in that same way experience the power of his resurrection, which overflows and is active in what? Believers, and that I may what? Share the fellowship of his sufferings by being continually conformed inwardly into his likeness, even to his death and dying as he did. Think about that scripture for a second. Think about how powerful. I almost made little cards for you to put on your refrigerator. You know, this is one of those scriptures that's like, well, God, what do you want from me? What's the calling of my life? What is it that you want me to do? Know him experientially, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him and understanding the remarkable wonders of his person. Do you really know him? It's the question of the day. Or do you know of him? I've known of God. I have served and done things for God. But do I know him? Do I know him passionately and intimately and in the most detailed areas of my life? Am I allowing God to be in that relationship with me? You see, that is the heavenly calling. It's that deep of a relationship. There's nothing else that matters. Because busyness and service is not our heavenly calling. I've felt like it was at different seasons in my life. I've been doing ministry for 35 years. So obviously I've done a lot for God, and you know, I've had to come back around and go, God, where are you at? Where are you in all of this? And he's like, well, I'm back over here on aisle 3 where you left me about 9 months ago when you started getting busy doing that other thing. And then before that, I was over on aisle 3 where you left me 4 months before that. Are we continually allowing God to be a part of us and us be a part of him. See, God doesn't want our service. He wants us. And in the process of having us, we'll do the service. We'll give our lives to him. We'll run with the cause. We'll go on the missions trips. We'll do the things that God's calling us to do. But we got to have him. Because in that relationship, he's going to be like, hey, man, I need you to go over here and do this. Okay? Not like, hey, God, I went over here and did this, so will you like me now? You see the flip? See, it's through intimacy that we actually get the directive for what we're supposed to do for God. It's not through the directive of what we try to do for God that we actually get the intimacy. Does that make sense? So the goal is that we would share in this challenge of actually surrendering our lives completely to him and then rebuilding our lives from a perspective of actually allowing God to direct us through the relationship instead of trying to direct ourselves into a relationship. That was good. Everybody just kind of went. All right, let's look at this prime example of how that works in Scripture. In Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42, everybody heard the story of Mary and Martha and that Jesus came to their house and they're hanging out. And here, let me read it. You ready? She's like, I know this one. It says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Tell her to help me. We've never been there, right? She's all busy running around, doing everything, thinking about all the stuff. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. You ever heard that? Oh, coy, coy. You know, or, right? Kevin, Kevin. Can you hear God? I mean, can you hear Jesus? He's like, Courtney, Courtney. Hold on, let me get one over here. Mike, Mike. I want you guys to feel left out over here, right? You're worried and troubled about so many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. See, here's the bottom line. Martha was distracted. I know none of you've ever been distracted. She was occupied and busy, but I know none of you are ever like that when it comes to the Lord. You're never too busy. You're always opening your Bible every hour, you know, every 5 minutes an hour, or constantly just digging into the Word, and you're on your knees, you're praying all the time. Never watch TV. Never play video games. I want to leave you guys out. Young folks. Distracted. She was occupied. She was busy. Well, I got to get to work. I got to do this. I got to make money. I got to make this. I got to go there. I got to do this. My phone runs my life. I just need to let Jesus run my phone. But she became upset with Mary because she wasn't helping. And then she brought it to Jesus' attention. And I love it. He's like, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you're worried about too many things. I'm like, I bet he said it that way too. He's like, seriously, Martha. What the heck? There's only one thing that you really need. Sit down here at my feet. Come hang with me. Come be with me. All that other stuff, yeah, it'll happen, it won't. Doesn't matter. What matters is you and me having an intimate relationship together. Mary's seeking me with everything she has. Join her. Share in that heavenly calling that she is partaking of right now in her life. Everything Martha was doing was good. It needed to be done. We need people. We need stuff done. We need help. You know, I the last thing I want is this Saturday at 9 a.m. for you to be saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I was at the feet of Jesus. Couldn't be over at Audubon helping you cut trees and serve the school because, man, I was at the feet of Jesus, Pastor. It was so good." You know, you can wake up at 7 and be at Jesus' feet. Still have time for coffee and a donut when you get here. The works need to happen. There's things that we need to do, that we need to serve the Lord. We need to have his kingdom moving and advancing and stuff going on. But if we do all of that and we miss him in the process, do you hear me? If we miss Jesus in the process and we walk right past him to do the stuff, but never include him or bring him into our life, and we never use our relationship with him to get directive for how to do the things, we're going to be chasing our tails, running around, wondering why everything's so complicated and so difficult when God's like, "I would have told you. I would have told you how to do this thing called life if you would have spent some time with me." Martha probably started out just like Mary. You all remember when you got saved at, you know, that first moment when you met Jesus and you were just like, "Oh, it's Jesus. I love him so much." And then life kept going and you got a little more distracted and you got a little more busy and, you know, you didn't give up Jesus, but you're just like, "Where's that moment? It was so good. I remember." My wife will tell you, when I first got saved, you know, and the presence of God would come in the room, I was like, "Ooh, oh," wasn't I? For real, like, I mean, really, just like that, I'd be like, "Oh, this is so good." I was a drug addict, man. When I found Jesus, I was like, "This is good stuff." I'm like, "I don't need nothing else with this. Come on." It was good. Then what happened? I kept doing it, and I kept going. I got a little more distracted. I got a little more busy doing kids' church and doing youth ministry and doing serving, being an usher, being a greeter, running around. Next thing you know, I'm, "Man, Jesus, I'm kind of tired. What's going on?" It's like, "Well, you left me behind, and you're just trying to do it in your own strength." What are we trying to do in our own strength, guys? That we need to get back into that intimacy with Jesus. We need to take that moment and get down and get dirty and get on our knees before the Lord and sit at his feet and allow him to minister to us so that we can experience his life and then take the life that he gives us in that moment and then go minister. You know what? Am I making sense? Good, good. You see, Martha started out just like Mary. The family was probably really close to Jesus, and he stayed with them when he was in the area. And as her love for him got stronger, she probably wanted to serve him. Think about this. Because I have the acts of service personality. Anybody familiar with the personality stuff? Yeah. I'm acts of service. You know, my wife's like, you don't love me. I'm like, I just washed your car. I just mopped the floor. I did all these things. She's like, hers is quality time. She's like, you're not spending any time with me. You'd rather wash the car and mop the floor. I'm like, but if I'd have spent some time at the feet of Jesus, he'd have been like, don't wash the car. Sit on the couch with her and watch that cheesy movie. But Lord, it's Lifetime Channel. It's Hallmark. It's Hallmark. Just love her. Can I get you a drink, honey? Nope, stay. All right, let's open this thing up with a riddle. Anybody like riddles? Anybody ever been riddled with riddles? All right, here we go. You ready? And it's open for them. If I...
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.